Okay, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the
repeating, this program delay was brought to you by Mushu the cat. I'm not kidding. Mushu apparently, or maybe her young ward Nix, who may have just become Nixon. There are a lot of little buttons on the mix desk here. It shows up in the occasional in-studio photo. And I think the cat walked across the mix desk. And somehow or another, out of all the buttons she could have touched, derouted my microphone. No, I'm not kidding. There's one set of buttons. Subgroup 1 and subgroup 2. And they go, and that's what sends the audio to the streaming computer. And there are blue buttons that say select on them across the top. There's a bank of three buttons over each fader, select, solo, and mute. And what Mushu apparently did was, first, she stepped on the select button to my microphone, and then she stepped on the sub 1 and sub 2 buttons, which removed the microphone from the mix. I am not kidding. Oh, someday I'll have a staff. Arnold tells me, Bob, fans of Radio Unnameable's cats do that all the time. No, Golden Thunder, there are no self-destruct buttons here. I don't even have a button that I can push, and it replies, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that. Oh, that's a mean thing to say about my cat. Miss Karen said maybe the cat's a closet Trump supporter. I would never say something so ugly about Cletus. But, I mean, that's because Cletus is a good girl. Cletus never walks on the mix desk. But yeah, it's Wednesday, the 23rd day of November, 2016. And this is The Horn. This program is live. I really am Bob Kincaid. And if I sound a little bit mild-mannered and sort of Buddhist or like I'm working on, it's because I am. Because it's so much more pleasant than stomping up and down and jumping up and down and screaming and tearing at my hair. And yes. So I'm just, you know, letting go now, letting go now, letting everything go. Thanks, everybody, for letting me know the show's back, the program's back on the air. Thanks, Harold. Thanks, Luda. Thank you very kindly. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for letting me know. All the rotten things you say about my lovely little Siamese cat, my God. But it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday here on the Horn. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren. And thank you, Robert, in Australia. You're live in Oz. Yay. That was just a little momentary bit of weird. And there will be a strange gap at the beginning of the program. And people will probably go, oh, he's probably screwed up the recording again. It's okay. It's okay. But no, there's really a program. But what I was saying earlier is just a general reminder. Tell your friends and neighbors. Maybe check in on some of the other chat rooms, message boards, whatever, or some of the other progressive radio programs. Let them know that there will be live progressive radio Thanksgiving night. I think it would be a lot of fun to maybe expose more people to the Horn Family Community Congregation. The more the merrier. So, you know, tell people. Live progressive radio Thanksgiving night, and we'll see how it goes from there. So I think we'll have something to talk about tomorrow evening. Thanks. Will in Chicago says, I let Nicole Sandler's listeners know. Good. Maybe more of them will wander over tomorrow evening. But anyway, this is a listener-supported program, and I have a lot of thanks to send out. We closed the gap. We ended the deficit. So, the regular fundraising goal is just what the regular fundraising goal is. And thanks very kindly to Paul. And thank you very kindly to our buddy John out in Colorado, otherwise known as Johannes. I got a note from Johannes saying, "Here's a have a show on me." He sent that to Boss Man Wayne. Boss Man Wayne called to let me know. And here's the deal from Johannes in Colorado. He's put forward to have a show on me, and he's following that up with another challenge. If we can raise $200 this evening to match his have a show on me, then he'll go one further and do another have a show on me. So that will actually be a tremendous shot in the arm for what we've got to do as we head downhill with the massive amounts of bill paying as we go toward the end of November and hopefully the 11th month in a row of Swede beating. So thank you, John, and thank you, Paul, who also did have a show on me. This is wonderful news because it was getting kind of grim this week. We were really, really struggling. And now we have a chance to go from struggling with a matching challenge to actually being a little bit out front, which is so refreshing. I can't begin to tell you how refreshing it is. Okay. Yeah. Arthur says maybe Mushu is pissed you haven't mentioned her on the show in ages. She just wants you to tell everybody how pretty and cuddly she is and how she's the prettiest cat in the world and so on. Cats are like that. Yeah, it's like something our our buddy Beth in Dallas once mentioned to me. They've already long since translated cat language. It's just that there's not much to it. The only thing cats ever say is, "Everything here is mine." And to say that Mushu is cuddly, no, maybe she wants to be told she is, but she's not. She's sweet and she's beautiful. She doesn't cuddle until the temperature drops in the house, you know, down below 50 or so. And then it's right under the sleeping bag with me and Agnes. Mm-hmm. And little Nyx is just, well, little Nyx is just a little, you know, four-month-old kitten who is already bigger than some full-grown cats. She was a foundling. She was a feral rescue. And she's still got a little bit of the feral in her. Mm-hmm. And she's a little bitey, a little bit bitey. But as Arthur says, cats are like that. So it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And, you know, we had a lovely time down in the basement of the cathedral here in the fellowship hall. Salisbury steak with mashed potatoes and gravy. Fresh canned corn and green beans, half runners, of course. You know, don't eat nothing else around here. I mean, I like a little bush bean every now and then. Aromas are a particular favorite, but they don't can up quite as well as a half runner does. All served up with fresh baked bread rolls and for dessert, peach cobblers. A little too cool to get out the ice cream freezer and make the youngins crank it so the deacons could have homemade ice cream. But the deacons knocked down that cobbler just the same. And well, you know what they did after that, brethren and sistren. They went up out of the fellowship hall. They trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and went out in the parking lot where they was smoking with the sinners. And there they stood a-smoking until such time as Sister Carol Baker emerged from the vestibule door and just sort of waved the solar-powered cattle prod at them. And when she does that, the deacons get wings on their heels. And they went a-flying in at right past Sister Carol Baker, through the vestibule, past that newly desiccating bowl of untouched butter mints. And, well, they're all waiting down front here in the cathedral with me now. Waiting down front in the cathedral, waiting for the minister of music to step forward and lead us in the offertory hymn. And brethren and sistren, they're going to pass them heavy brass plates with the blood red velvet in the bottom and the PayPal button. Just press that PayPal button so that you can get in on the and help the Horn get an extra $200, an extra have a show on me, courtesy of John in Colorado. That's wonderful. That'd be wonderful. Brother Jeremy's already got us started, so there's only $190 to go. Thank you. Thank you, one and all. So let's bring the Minister of Music forward, shall we, to lead us in our offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world, the fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say,
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Oh, brethren and sister, and welcome, welcome, one and all, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! Glory. Brethren and sister, I'm calling on you now. I am calling on you to get up out of your seats, get up onto your feet, scoot and scunch and screech and skirt out, you know, out betwixt, from betwixt the pews, and come on out and come on down that blood red aisle and fall upon your knees at the altar and lay your hands, ha! Amen, upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense a-flowing through you from the server. Ha! On high. Amen. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and this is, brethren and sistren, the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. Oh, brethren and sistren. Brethren and sistren, I tell you what, we got a lot of prayerfulality we got to be engaging in. We do. We truly do. Brethren and sistren, there's a lot of folks, out there that has a lot of worries about the incoming government. Yes, a lot of worries. I mean, here we're gonna have our first, And I don't know how this is going to play with the Trumpansies, glory, hallelujah. We're going to have our first Sikh UN ambassador in the form of South Carolina stand governor Nimrata Haley. Assuming she gets confirmed. You know, she'll get confirmed. And I'm sure that's worrying a whole bunch of the upstanding, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals out there. By the way, a note coming in from Brother Usher Steve. He says, I'm sorry I'm late, Uber Rabbi Kincaid. I'm sitting in the back in case anyone needs me. I didn't want to interrupt you and walk up to the pew where I normally sit. Oh, we are some serious. We take our cues from the back row Baptists here at the Cathedral of Common Sense. But we're going at one point in time, Herr Trump, I even had a conversation with a Democratic Hindu congresswoman named Tulsi Gabbard, who is of late a darling of the progressive movement because she was so thoroughly for Bernie, but it also turns out she loves to bomb her some Muslims. So naturally, I guess she was in the running for UN ambassador too. But no, it's going to be Nimrata Haley. Worrisome for your evangelicals not to be represented by a Christian there at the United Nations. I mean, after all, that is one world government up there, right? You understand? Yeah, it sure is. Ben Carson, Housing and Urban Development? Really? That'll be fun. But the ones that still bug me the most, brethren and sistren, are folks like Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, nominated for attorney general of the new United States of America, including the Civil Rights Division, where they often have contact with folks from the NAACP, which you might recall Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III has done said is a commie organization. You betcha. So, it's a little disturbing, but for those of us who are worrying our little old heads, the Reverend Dr. Velveeta King wants us to know that we ain't got nothing to worry about in Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Hood, it being the Attorney General, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of Merca, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, in the universe today, forever and ever. Amen. And now, post no bills. Know why? We don't have to worry about Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III because of, because Jesus. She done said so on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, Reverend Dr. Velveeta King did.
Trump's most recent administration picks as racist. Now critics are urging him to reconsider the appointment of Senator Jeff Sessions. Listen to this.
He made jokes about the KKK, that he made used racial slurs.
He's going to need a very thorough vetting. Many of those statements, they're old, but they're still troubling.
He pushes out Sessions, who is, you know, the most troubling member of the U.S. Senate when it comes to race.
If he was not good enough to be a federal judge interpreting the law, how then is he good enough to be attorney general actually enforcing the law?
All right, well, here to weigh in is Fox News contributor of Martin Luther King Jr., Dr. Velveeta King. Doctor, good to see you this morning.
Good morning. How are you? And
good.
To all of our viewers, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. So you just saw that clip we played. We've heard from the media now, members of the Democratic Party, throwing around the racist term almost like it's nothing. What do you make of that?
Well, we here in America have brains. We can think. We can investigate for ourselves. Playing the race card used to work because nobody could find out the truth behind the matter.
Yeah, and interestingly, we do know the truth behind the matter as far as Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, because, as I mentioned the other evening, the stuff about the things that he said were proven to the satisfaction of the United States Senate, and thus they are part of the congressional record and do not have to be relitigated. They have already been proven. So we were able to find out. And did you notice there, I don't even know who the talking head is who's talking to Dr. Velveeta King here. But did you say what was that? I want to get back to that. Throwing around race like yada yada yada, like hold on, there we go.
King, Doctor, good to see you this morning.
Good morning. How are you? And to
good.
All of our viewers, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. So you just saw that clip we played. We've heard from the media now, members of the Democratic Party, throwing around the racist term almost like it's nothing.
No, see, that's the thing. They weren't throwing around the racist term like it was nothing. They are mentioning racism because it is something. And the something the racism charge is entirely applicable to Alabama Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. Because it is. And it does. It shakes out about like this, as Carol Baker just pointed out. Bannon, Jews suck. Flynn, Muslims suck. Sessions, blacks suck. David Duke, you guys rule. Press, critics say Trump's hiring racists. Yeah, I know. Painful, ain't it? Sadly, yes. Hey, but anyway, okay, so the Reverend Dr. Velveeta King says we can judge for ourselves. But I'll bet you that judging for ourselves does not include the congressional record, at least not in her world.
To work because nobody could find out the truth behind the matter. Senator Sessions prosecuted the Ku Klux Klan. Mm-hmm. Senator Sessions, you know, went and desegregated schools in Alabama.
But no one's so talking about
it. And he also said the Ku Klux Klan was the Cool Klux Klan till he found out they smoked the marijuanas. But somehow or another, Reverend Dr. Velveeta King has missed that little point.
But nobody wants to talk about that because they want to say he's a racist and he bandies racist slurs. Take it out of context. But he prosecuted the KKK. So throwing the race card against somebody who prosecutes racists, it does not add up.
Something that your uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King, talked about a lot was forgiveness and coming together and moving on from things. Why is it today that it seems that the media and in this case, the Democrats are having such a difficult time moving on from something that happened decades ago? We all have a past. We all have moments where we say, you know what, I probably would have handled that differently. I probably would have said that differently.
Really? We've all got moments where we looked at a black coworker and said, boy, you need to be careful what you say around these white people. We've all got incidents in our past where we told a white lawyer in the U.S. Department of Justice that he was a race traitor because he was representing black clients in civil rights litigation. We've all got those, do we? Do we, ma'am? Really? I'll be dipped because I don't think I do.
Why is a community today, do we have such a hard time moving on and forgiving people?
I was an activist.
And aren't we glad you were an activist? Just tickled diddly damn pink you were an activist. Who says we're not moving on? Actually, I think the argument to be made is that we have moved on. We are a better country than to have Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III as Attorney General, given his nasty racist history. We've moved on. We are a better country than that. I know after November 8th, you're not so sure, but come on. Give me something to hang on to, please.
In the 20th century, in the 1960s, I was a youth activist and organizer. My dad, Reverend A.D. King, my uncle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., taught me very well, and my granddad, Daddy King. Now, George Wallace, during those times, was one of the most racist people in our history. And yet, through love, through communication, and through resisting nonviolently, George Wallace repented. And I believe the heart of the servant leader draw that out of anybody. So that's why I'm even looking at Mr. Trump, his administration, his choices. You know, what would Jesus do?
Well, I'm pretty sure Jesus would not appoint Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III to be the chief law enforcement officer of the empire. That's more something that, you know, your Roman emperor types would do. Yeah, just, you know. Okay, Arthur. All right. Yeah, you earned it. Arthur says, now, Bob. We all got drunk once and got that swastika tattoo on our sternum, and we came to regret that it became public. Well, maybe we all didn't. but some did. My wonderful son has, and he was even sober when this happened. I mean, he's got a tattoo on his arm, and he doesn't know anything. He didn't particularly know anything about symbology, but it's done in that sort of gothic, that gothic letter, and it's right down his forearm too, and it says Kemosabe. But the thing is, if you look at it from a distance, it looks like it says lemonade. And we all agree that and we just refer to it now as lemonade. And I keep thinking, if I ever, I got a very low pain threshold. And I keep thinking, I'm going to go and get like a skull and crossbones, only the crossbones are going to be a pair of crossed microphones or something. I think that'd be really cool, but I've been talking about it for years and have managed not to do it so far, so as I don't have to regret it later. But maybe I could, I mean, this way I can just regret thinking about it. But the thing is, she brought up George Wallace, Dr. Velveeta King did there. She brought up George Wallace, and George Wallace did actually, this is not the Defend George Wallace Hour. But he and, you know, because you have to say Robert Byrd if you're going to talk about it. Otherwise it gets all the little birchers, deathers, tenthers, ninthers, booger eaters all upset. Got to say Bob Byrd. They both actively repented from their racism and tried to move forward and actively do things to counter their racism. There is no evidence in the Congressional Record or anywhere else that Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Hood has ever repented of his racism. And last I checked, this being prayer meeting Wednesday and all, repentance is a big part of the saving grace of Christ Jesus, in whom I am sure Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions the Hood fervently believes.
What can I say that will heal? So I'm encouraging Mr. Trump and his picks not to go on the defensive, but to assert that we want to heal America. We want to work together for America. And
here's the problem, Dr. Velveeta King. America was working on healing until the election of Barack Obama, at which point all the white folks went ass wild crazy, and the white supremacists rose up, and the neo-Nazis rose up, and the federal government issued a report way back in 2009, said the greatest domestic threat in the United States is right-wing domestic terrorism. And, you know, Dr. Velveeta King, you're not going to heal America, ma'am, because you're part of the fascist right. And fascists aren't very good at healing anything. In fact, they're most usually historically known for unhealing things, for tearing places down, for destroying countries, cultures, continents. So you got a little problem there.
Voice that has to continue, and sanity. You know, the media did not, Kellyanne Conway is right, did not prepare us for a Trump win. And so now we have that. Are we going to keep splintering and dividing, or are we going to come together?
Right. That's such a great point. So I want to get your thoughts on this story we've been covering for the past 24 hours. So play Hamilton. I know you've heard about it. So the cast basically gave a lecture to Vice President.
Something tells me that if you didn't have the hockey puck in for that last part, you're going to want to get it in for this. Just nice little strip of duct tape. Yeah. I've got the cool camo kind.
Like Mike Pence, he went there with his family, trying just to enjoy a Friday night out, lectures him about politics at the end of the show. He even gets some boos from the audience. What is your reaction to that?
That was a seize the day moment. And so the lecture came, and I think that Vice President-elect Pence, from my understanding, just kind of quietly got up and went outside, but he waited until he heard rant or chastisement. Now, I believe that if I had purchased a ticket and I was just part of the general audience, I would have expected to see a great performance. I might not have wanted to buy an opportunity to hear a lecture, you know? So,
yeah, and see, I mean, they keep doing, God damn, they're stupid, including Dr. Velveeta King. Because they got a great performance. They got the same great performance they get every night. This came at the curtain call. I don't know how many times I have to say that. You're probably sick of it, but it really did. It happened at the curtain call. But that doesn't matter to Dr. Velveeta King, because the truth doesn't matter. Facts don't matter to Dr. Velveeta King or the rest of the ghoulish fascist crowd that has the bit in its teeth and are running for all they're worth toward Inauguration Day. Phew. Yeah. But it is. It's prayer meeting Wednesday, and we got a couple of things to go into. Consider this like a public service announcement. And this probably doesn't even apply to our side of the conversation, but if you know somebody, because we all do, who's all Jesus-y and all, you know, religion industried up and everything, if you know anybody who tells you that Jesus has been a-talking to them lately, try to get them some help before something goes sideways. Witness, for instance, good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Gloria Ross, 40 years old, of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She was at home. She was at home last Wednesday. And she picked up a kitchen knife and slashed about a 2.5-inch gash across her 8-year-old son's throat. The kitchen knife, by the way, had a serrated edge. Those are kind of nasty. Two other children were in the home at the time. The three of them struggled with Mama to get the knife away from her, and all three eventually did escape. The 8-year-old boy was at last report recovering in a local hospital. The Baton Rouge Police Department showed up, and they interviewed 40-year-old Gloria Ross, who told the police that Jesus had told her to slash her son's throat. Because, you know, sometimes Jesus just does that. Or sometimes profound mental illnesses do that, and people who are susceptible to the religion disease think it's Jesus. She was arrested last week. She's been charged with attempted first-degree murder. And get this, I really want to see the revised statutes of the state of Louisiana. Second degree cruelty to a juvenile. Jesus told her to slash her son's throat, and you can kind of understand that because there's all kinds of throat slashing going on in the Bible. I mean, at one point in time, Abram takes his son Isaac up on a mountain, and, you know, God tells him to slash his throat and offer Isaac up as a burnt sacrifice or some such to the God of love. No, it's in the, you can look it up. And then just as Abraham's getting ready to plunge in the dagger, lo and behold, because that's Bible language, there's a ram with its horn caught in the bushes, and God leans down and says, "Hey, Abraham, that's just joshing you. Don't kill the kid. Kill the sheep. I'm the Lord God of hosts, and Man, I love me some mutton. Yeah. Just kill it and set fire to it on the altar. I mean, that's all you need. Yeah, right. So, you know, there's precedent. I mean, there's all kinds of birds and lambs and stuff killed all through the Bible. So, you know, I guess, I don't know, 40-year-old Gloria Ross was just kind of having a breakdown or an epiphany. Kind of depends on which way you view things as to whether or not, which way you see that. But tomorrow, as we gather together, if anybody tells them that Jesus is talking to them, just kind of announce that you're feeling a little slowed down and you're going to take a little walk. And walk out and call 911 and get the friendly people to come and take the person away that Jesus is talking to before they can come at you with the electric turkey carving knife. Because they got serrated edge blades, too. And there's two of them. They kind of go real, real fast, like, me, and just, you know, they'll carve. I mean, it works real good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just another account of Christ's loving grace for our edification. And this being prayer meeting Wednesday, just one more thing before we get to the real world. Did you vote for Hillary Clinton? Did you? Well, Jim Baker has a message for you.
First Amendment gives you the right to protest in a peaceable way. Whenever you're throwing rocks at people, whenever you're beating people up, whenever you're stealing their cars, whenever you're setting places on fire, whenever you're throwing rocks through people's windshields, this is not a peaceful protest. Now, I do just want to give a
they call them that.
They do call
They're saying, peaceful. Oh, we're having peaceful protest. Anytime anybody burns a car, throw stones through bank windows, mm-hmm. or anything like that, or injures another person, they need to be arrested.
Yeah.
We need to say no.
I love me some Christian forgiveness, don't you? Where was it? Where's that part in the New Testament where it said, and lo, they came unto Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, teach us, when someone throws a brick through the first bank of Rome's window, whatever shall we do? And yea, verily, Jesus did look unto them and did say unto them, saying, behold, drop the dime on them. Well, no, okay. Behold, drop the shekel on them. Yeah, me neither. But, by God, Jim, well, I mean, Jim had his own time in the stir, so maybe he wants everybody to experience the healing power of the Department of Corrections.
Oh, now. Yeah. No more.
And just.
We are going to have, and I wrote it down, if we're not careful, we're going to have civil war.
That's right.
I want you to see this. So, can you see that map?
Hold on. We're going to have civil war? Who are they going to go to war against? They won. And they've got all the guns. Yeah, I know. Crazy, isn't it?
I probably shouldn't say this.
Look at that, everybody. Wow.
Meanwhile, while the map is up, just so you'll know, they've got a banner up with their on Jim and Jim Baker and on the map of Jesus Land. Titled Trump's Historic Victory. $650 donation or more plus shipping. Tasty Pantry Deluxe. Four buckets. 1,496 total servings. And the number and the website URL. That's right. That's right. For the coming Civil War, you're going to need some bucket pudding. which still sounds like something dirty that involved that you can only see in movies that you have to go behind that shower curtain at the cheesy rental place to get, but never mind.
Amazing.
I wrote it down.
I love it. County by county. Oh.
You see, that picture right there is just a testament that the media are a bunch of liars.
Right.
The red is the votes for Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
The
by
red
county.
Is the GOP.
Mm-hmm.
The grand old party.
There they are. Mm-hmm. Now, that's where it is right now. They're still counting ballots.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still counting ballots. And the more they count, the more Hillary's lead grows. But, you know, don't tell Jim.
No, it doesn't make any difference.
Right.
Don't smarten up the chumps.
It's in the bank. You know, it's done, you know.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you live in the blue, put it back on the screen. If you live in the blue, any spot that's blue.
Right.
And by the way, the blue spots are like Puget Sound, coastal California, in toward Arizona, a couple of chunks of northern and southern Arizona, northern New Mexico, southern Texas, a strip along the Mississippi River in Mississippi, a stripe across the so-called Black Belt of Alabama, Atlanta, Charleston, Columbia, up toward Wilmington, North Carolina, Virginia Beach, New Jersey, Philly, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and of course New York City. That's all like Duluth and the Northwoods of Wisconsin and a few other polka dots in the country. That's the if you live in the blue spots, and here's the payoff.
I would say, oh, God.
Oh, God.
Help me.
Help California and Arizona.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Forgive me.
Oh, forgive us, Lord.
Because those are the ones who came against the will of God in this election.
Now, you've got to understand. And
I just want to tell you, God has spoken to me. I've seen under the ground in Florida and California, especially.
In L.A.
In L.A.
He's seen under the ground. Yeah.
And God spoke to me that in Los Angeles alone, there's going to be such an earthquake come that literally the big buildings will be laying on their sides. All of L.A. is going to collapse, downtown L.A. And that there's going to be.
That's going to be big. Tracy, Billable Rick, Tim, the members of the Horn Family Community Congregation in Southern California. Y'all ready for this? Dum, 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 dum. No, different. All of the buildings are going to be laying down on their sides. All of them. Every last one. Because Jim Baker's seen underground.
I believe the West Coast is going to have how many of those faults and earthquake zones do they have there in California? Anybody know?
And what's interesting
lots
about that,
and they're full of devils
whenever
and demons.
You even see, and Sasha
spiders.
Was the one that actually from California made this known to me, that if you look at California, the east side of California is red by county, and the west side is blue. And where do all the fault lines, where do all the prophetic words happen to plant themselves? It's on the far west of the West Coast. Now, it's the blue. Now, you understand, it's not, judgment's not coming then because they voted for Hillary Clinton. It's because they voted for a platform. They voted for a platform that is so incredibly pro-abortion, anti-Bible. Yeah. They voted for a platform that specifically states that they are going to seek a two-state resolution with Israel, saying in the Democratic Party platform that they attempt to divide the land of Israel. It's not
really, and that's California's fault. Okay, then, and it couldn't possibly. I mean, he acknowledges the fault lines, but couldn't possibly be that. Like that, those areas that voted all blue and stuff have greater prosperity. And higher degrees of general education, and greater diversity. No, demons. Demons.
Not because they vote Democrat. It's because they vote a platform and what that platform represents.
Right.
There's no way in the natural that even a Christian would vote for Trump after all the dump they put on him. I mean, you know what I mean? They just... But here's what. Trump has surrounded himself with more men and women of the gospel than any human being I've ever seen in my 76 years on the face of this earth.
Wow. I take it then that Jim Baker has not seen very many human beings. Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III is a man of the gospel? And then did Jesus say unto them, I thought the Ku Klux Klan was pretty cool until I found out they shoot up the marijuanas. Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, Jim Baker was right about the earthquake, but the bearded juvenile delinquent got the geography all fucked up and sent the earthquake to Japan. Go figure. Yeah, why'd the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky do that? And for that matter, why was there an earthquake and a tsunami warning, last week in New Zealand? Bunch of sinners. Yeah, you betcha. Meanwhile, Brother Usher Steve says, the blue states, can we stop subsidizing the will of God states and see what happens? Oh, now quit that. Steve continues, Republicans are allowed to act upon their own worst impulses, verbal or otherwise, but can always turn the mirror of criticism on mere language. There's no available vocabulary for not acting as a racist other than not acting as a racist, since words are only intended to heal or hurt, and otherwise not intrinsically sacred. This applies to everything. The GOP and their following have perfected the technique of equaling terrible words with moral acts, and the words of the enemy with meaningless or unpatriotic blather for the better part of a generation. Unless the other side learns how to get down and dirty in a different sort of way, the party of scummy acts and scummier word spin shall continue to prosper. As Stephen K. Bannon has said, darkness is good. And he did say that. That's enough to have Darth Vader shit his spacesuit. Wait a minute. And that goes out to Steve in China, because that was from Steve in China, another member of the fraternity of Steve. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, tomorrow's Thanksgiving version of the horn will be a thorn in the back porch. We're going to have a front porch Thursday. That's what we're going to do. Okay. Yes, and you're absolutely right, Edward. Edward in Dallas writing, dogs have owners, cats have staff. Yeah, imagine that. I'm a cat staff, but I got no staff. And we are off and running, thank you very kindly, on our efforts to match John's $200 Have a Show on Me challenge. This is quite encouraging. Let's see, 190, 165. Thank you very kindly, TK. And 155.62. Thank you, Luda. 155.62 to go to match Johannes's Have a Show on Me challenge, in which case he'll send another $200. So you're not doubling your money, you're tripling it. Eh? Cool, right? 155.62 to go. And as they say in church land, here endeth the lesson. So let's take a break and see what the congregation has to say. Religious institutions out there where you get to talk back to the podium. This is one of them. Yeah, I know. Brother Deacon Gerald of the Building and Grounds Committee says, Civil War? Man, I've been hearing that shit for 30 years. And, of course, they have it coming, those earthquakes, because they voted for Hillary. Or because fetuses. So, we will, as I said, take a break. This is listener-supported conversation radio. And hopefully we'll keep this this little thing moving forward. And, you know, just take a little of the icky stress off of running this little operation. Thanks in advance, everybody. We'll be back. I'm Bob Kincaid. Patron Saint Band of the Horn, the Drive-By Truckers, and George Wallace from Act One of Southern Rock Opera way back at the beginning of the century. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Earther says, lo and behold, said God, and the bucket appeared, and within there was chocolate pudding, and it was good, and praise was on to God, and God reminded that credit cards were accepted. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Yes. Let's see. Anything else? Bishop, or Brother Usher Steve, almost promoted you there, Steve. Brother Usher Steve says, wait a second, who exactly has been committing 700-plus anti-ethnic, anti-racial, anti-woman, anti-Muslim peaceful events? Jim Baker can't be expected to know all and see all. Okay, Tracy apparently has something on her mind. A little bit ago, she said, oh, my God, OMG, 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 when are you opening the phone lines? They're open, Tracy, they're open.
Oh, my God. Velveeta King. First off, is there a name? I know we have Uncle Tom, Clarence Thomas, on the Supreme Court. Is there a female version of Uncle Thomas, Auntie Thomasina? What the?
Now, you see, you're trying to march me into one of them. And I mean, because I had a quick, glib, off-the-cuff answer. But no, you're not going to, Tracy, you are not going to make me do that.
Come on, baby. Come on now.
Aunt Jemima, damn it.
Damn it. There you go. Damn. See? Ain't that your mama on the pancake box? Oh. What?
Why you gotta go and do that to me?
Well, because you.
Yeah, because Bob. Right. Yeah, sure.
Bob. It's because I'm listening to this woman, you know, justify, okay, let me see if I could do it. The Honorable, what is it, Jefferson?
Jefferson, Jefferson.
Jefferson.
Davis. Beauregard.
Beauregard.
Sessions.
The third.
There you go. That's our man.
That's my homeboy. See, we go way back because, see, you know.
but all my little right wing friends are all about y'all. Got to quit talking mean about Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III. I mean, he prosecuted the Klan and he made sure that a Klansman got the chair.
One out of how many?
And he supported a civil judgment against the Klan for $7 million and broke the back of the Klan in Alabama. I don't think the Klan's back's exactly broken based upon the voting results I recently saw.
I do believe you are correct, sir, Reverend Minister Bob, because, see, I've been listening to you, you know, and I'm sorry. I just watched, what was that fool? You guys were listening to yesterday that the children of the sun, more like children of the corn.
Richard Spencer.
Richard, did you see? How, you know, I have issues with, what's his name? He used to be on CNN, the brother that got booted from CNN because, I don't know, homophobia. Roland Martin.
Yes.
Now, I have my issues with Roland Martin, but, oh, boy.
No, he had Richard Spencer for lunch.
He served him, and I only saw the first 10 minutes because I was laughing so hard, I was in tears because I'm like, oh, son, you just got schooled. You seriously got schooled because, it doesn't do the clip justice. I mean, you could play the clip and it's still hilarious. But you have to watch it. You absolutely have to watch it to look at Roland Martin and go, what the fuck are you talking about, you ignorant white boy, you? Is that the look? Because I thought I saw that look. Did you see the white boy?
I saw that look. Yeah, yes.
Okay. Because he's...
That's the did your mama drop you on your head at birth look.
Seriously, dude. I'm like... When I, you know, it was bad enough to hear the white boy, you know, talk this crazy, but then to hear my girl Velveeta, now that's you are wrong. Or wait, oh no, No, Levitra. Trying to get a rise out of something.
You're going to hell, Tracy. I mean,
Look, you know what? And I'm going to have on gasoline drawers when I go.
Mm-hmm.
Because I am so tired of these simple Negroes.
You got to understand. I mean, Reverend Dr. Velveeta King. I just call her so Velveeta. I like to call her Velveeta because she's so cheesy. You got her shtick. I mean, it's her gig. It's what keeps her in Frisbees and Wheat Checks is going around worrying about the precious little fetuses. And hollering about how Uncle Martin would have certainly been a pro-life Republican now. She says that shit.
Did she not read any of his books as he realized that no matter how hard he tried, white folks were not going to act right? And he's like, I can't, you know.
Hey, no, wait. When it comes to Velveeta King, the check clears.
Oh, Lord Jesus. See, you talking about setting Negroes back, and I'm going to say Negroes. She has set her and all those Larry Elder and Clarence Thomas and Condoleezza Rice and all of them. And what's his name? The fool, Ben Carson.
Ben Pyramid Granaries Carson, yes.
And what was the fool that ran against the pizza fool? What was his
name? Oh, Herb Cain.
Herb Cain, and then Michael Steele, all of these drinking the Kool-Aid. Now they went from red Kool-Aid to orange Kool-Aid. You Kool-Aid drinking fools you. Do you not realize you're going to be the first Negroes in the field? Unless they light-skinned in it, and then they'll be in the house.
Okay, Negroes, so you want to remember last week, Tracy, when we had that clip from former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson, who was talking to an African-American minister of the gospel? Remember?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
He's working on his own shtick. And I mean, again, you know, it's a question. It's a matter of the check clearing. And so, well, let's just run over here for a minute to where we need to be. Because yeah, I know you're going to enjoy this. You're the one. I mean, I got payback's hell, Tracy.
Fine, whatever.
Whatever. So here's Wellington Boone.
Wellington?
Yes.
Stop. Pump your brakes.
Yeah. All right.
Brother's name. The brother's name is Wellington?
Yes, ma'am.
He was named after a beef dish stuffed with cheese and the puff.
Well, I mean, come on. Didn't the Duke of Wellington win the Battle of Waterloo or something? Maybe he was named after the Duke of Wellington.
Bitch, please. His mama made some beef Wellington and said, ooh, I think I'll name my child Wellington because that sure is some good eating. What? Why are you quiet?
No, because that's just because Tracy, that's why.
Because Tracy Wellington. Putting on airs, mother. Okay.
I just want to think that, you know, somewhere I don't know. You know that picture that's out there? It's kind of hard to find on the internet, but you still can, and I don't recommend looking for it. But there's a picture of Pat Boone with his junk sticking through the bottom of a popcorn box. And it's a real picture.
Oh.
And I'm just wondering if he's any kin. Because this guy's religious crazy like Pat Boone's religious crazy. Maybe it's in the blood.
Did you? Okay, I'm okay now.
Dead, no, you're not.
I need a bleach shower after that one.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, long before Justin Timberlake and what's his name from Saturday Night Live from 15 years ago did that bit about with in a box. Pat Boone, it's a black and white photo. It's back in his heartthrob days. I probably shouldn't have used the word throb, should I? But you know, there it is, and I first saw it at Bart Cop, and Bart Cop researched it. Wherever you are, Bart Cop, we know. Researched it diligently to make sure that it was an unretouched photograph. It was real. It was real. But anyway, I see Wellington Boone, and I'm thinking, Pat, what were... That, yeah. Because, you know, Pat's a Southern boy. And, you know, white Southern men been known to, you know, do that.
That's so... And you know what? Pat Boone was actually... Remember I told you how I stopped going to, you know, church on the way down here? And Pat Boone spoke one day, and that was the beginning of the end. Because he railed on about, you know, who was running. Oh God. Okay, play the clip so I could just.
Okay, you got your hockey puck?
I got my hockey puck.
Okay.
And my duct tape. I'm good.
All right, so we're ready. Here we go.
Let me say something that will absolutely blow the gay community's mind right now. You really have been misnamed. Just like African American is a misnomer. It's not the correct name. It's Black American. So is gay or homosexual. What you are eunuchs. You're a eunuch culture. And in the Bible, you let the devil trick you, though, by making you think that your issue is sex with the same gender, which is actually having a union with God. And there are many, many places in the Bible where you can see you're a eunuch. Daniel and the three Hebrew boys are examples of that. Look, you have incredible skill given to you by God, the ability to administrate.
Wait, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were eunuchs?
Were eunuchs?
And that's Daniel? Daniel was a eunuch? Daniel.
But.
I'm a little lost here.
Wait. Just for those people, because you know sometimes I'm slow, Bob, and that's why I have to ask questions, you know, because Tracy, and I just want to clarify,
sister.
To my recollection, hasn't he been castrated? Does he no longer have the junk in the trunk,
or the swag in the bag?
It's, you know, or the dick in the box.
Now come on. That was right off the cuff, and I don't get it. All right, I'm going to give myself one.
The cowbell, baby. I don't have a cowbell.
No, but you got to award one now and then. Swag. Okay, I mean, come on, swag in the bag, and we're talking about. I mean,
come on.
I earned that.
Come on, you are swag, and that was off the cuff. I have to give you your props, dude, because you know. But I'm sorry. So. See, this is those things when you find stuff. Now, so what are their gifts? What are their gifts? Having a penis?
Well, the lesbians get to be eunuchs too. I mean, it's equal. We're equal opportunity.
How the hell am I going to be a eunuch?
But it's a big Jesus. There's more.
You serve around King's cables. You're able to communicate in such a way that God shows you visions and dreams. Look up eunuch in the whole of the Bible. You'll see that you sold yourself for human pleasure when you were made to please God. You are eunuchs. And Jesus even spoke to that point. He says, there are you who are born that way. There are you who eunuchs who made themselves that way. And then there are eunuchs who are made to be eunuchs by someone else. And in effect, you know who are the real eunuchs in history? Catholics. They're a eunuch nation.
That's it. Catholics. Absolute Catholics.
Catholics. Did he say Catholics or Catholics?
It's about halfway.
Oh,
And then he sits back in his chair and gives this smug look like, yeah, I said that. Mm-hmm.
That is some heinous. See, this is. This is how rumors get started. See, now he going around telling gay folks, and see, I'm a lesbian. So I'm still having. So wait. So you're either born that way, you made yourself that way, or Jesus.
Well, or somebody done it to you.
Or somebody done it to you.
Because see, in the culture,
in the
larger cultural milieu in which Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi lived, there were people who, just as there are today, who are born sterile, birth defects.
Yes.
Then there were people who followed religious cults, and they were occasionally troubling, but, you know, just right up the Levant, there was the temple of, Demeter, Diana, Artemis,
Diana.
One of those, yep. And the way a man would become a temple priest, because this stuff is recorded in the ancient histories, is they'd have this festival, and if you really wanted to be a priest of that, and balloons. Made of sheep innards or something.
Did they have the balls?
Well, that's where I'm going.
Right. So, did they have the balls throwing it to the thing to win the?
Yeah. Well, yes, actually, because see, what would happen is if you really wanted to be a priest, you would get into your religious frenzy, and then you would hack off your own junk. And you'd throw it in somebody's doorway, and if they took you in and kept you from bleeding to death, you got to be a priest.
Okay, so wait,
so that's the done it to themselves part. And then there were other cultures, like say the by then they were known as the Parthians, the heirs to the, and they would castrate boys for religious purposes and harem purchase. So,
harem.
You know, he was just Yeshua was just talking about his world, but, you know, Wellington Boone, you know, you get it. I mean, Boone's Farm. Okay. He gets into a little Boone's Farm. And the next thing you know, you get this.
There you go.
Yeah. So there's more. It's Ginsu commercial. It's, pocket.
Oh, see.
Yeah, see, this is Pope Peel's pocket fisherman. There's more.
The Uni Nation. Well, what do we mean by that? The Vatican is a nation. It has a status in the United Nations called the Holy See. That's observer status. They have their own military, their own stamps, their own money. They are a nation of people who give themselves exclusively for the cause of Christ. And that's where you missed it. You're giving yourself to another person when you should be giving yourself to God. For the sake of the next world, people, you don't get that? No, you haven't gotten it. And so just like you have some of the Catholics have fallen out, and some of them have had problems with, you know, with babies and having sex or trans, crossing the sexual line. No, they've already been a nation of eunuchs already, but now in Christendom, you are ordained to be a nation of eunuchs for God.
Wait, there's a difference between Catholics and Christendom? That's gonna come as real news to a whole lot of history.
I thought Christendom.
I mean, seeing how Catholics invented the word Christendom, and they were talking about themselves, not somebody else. But dude's on a roll.
Let me tell you something that happened. Well, there was this in New York. There was something called the Stonewall Riots.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, see? Yeah. And there was this hotel, a Stonewall Hotel, but this was...
Oh, no.
No, no.
Oh, no.
No, it's beautiful because... He's talking to this white guy who turns around and looks and says, I haven't heard of that. He seemed just a little bit too strident there. Oh, I've never heard of the Stonewall Riots. I've not heard of gay bars or bathhouses or the restroom at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport in the basement there where you tap your toes and have a wide stance. No, I've never heard of any of that.
stop. Bob, no, don't. No.
Yeah, here it comes.
An issue which they, this is how they remove some of history, where black gays and white gays were arguing with one another over whether or not blacks could come in this bar and hotel. And see,
wow.
So now this wasn't an issue now of just gays. This was an issue of black and white.
All over the Horn Family Community Congregation right now, there are gay people who know the history of the gay civil rights movement who are going, wait a minute, what? Because that ain't what happened.
That ain't even near close to
Stonewall.
Not, no. Have you
Stonewall was a Stonewall. Stonewall was a bunch of gay people and trans people, what have you,
trans
getting
people.
Pissed with having the cops constantly harassing them.
And they fought back.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Oh my! Have you ever watched Drunk History?
No.
You have to, because there was an episode, Drunk History.
Oh, wait, I have. I think I've seen an episode. Yeah, come to think of it.
There's an episode of Drunk History talking about Christopher Street, and oh, my God. Oh, my God. You have to watch it, because it'll make you pee your pants. Because, you know, Drunk History, for those who don't know what Drunk History is a they do history, and it's real history, but it's like if you're going out and you're drinking, they see as much as you can drink and recount certain things that happened in history. It's funny as fuck. And they do the thing about the Stonewall riots.
Yeah, which did not have anything to do with white gay people trying to keep no. But the Ginsu commercial.
Are you sure this is the Moran Monday? Oh, that's right.
No, prayer meeting went. But you get it. So there's a little bit left. Hang on. Put the hockey puck back.
So white gays didn't want black gays in it.
Mm.
So it's not the same. You're saying it's the same, but it's not the same.
Mm.
So and right now with all the stuff that's going on, you're talking about. I'm wondering if black gay, if what's going on in the gay community is the same what's going on in the black community. Where are the gays saying, you're fighting against us? If you're going to kill a black person, you're killing a gay.
Wow.
See?
Wow.
No, it's not the same. No, they're using the cause of race and what blacks have gone through in history for their cause.
Man,
I call
come
it,
on.
It's you're robbing blacks of their history, and you're making them think you're with them, but you're not with us. But let me tell you who is with you. The Lord is with you if you're willing to change.
I got nothing.
So, wait. So, I'm gay. Wait, hold up. Okay, wait. Scratching head. About to pull into my driveway. So, I'm gonna try to do the summation so other people can. So, hold up, bitch. This motherfucker. And I'm trying to be nice, because a friend of mine is actually listening to the show for the first time, and I'm not going to say her name, but she's texted me with tears, the laughing tears, because she's screaming. She's screaming. So, wait. Okay. So, I'm a lesbian, because I got to get this right, because I'm a eunuch, and because
you're a black lesbian eunuch, okay? Just get over it.
I'm a black lesbian eunuch.
Who's supposed to be having sex with Jesus.
Right. And because I'm not a black, so because I'm a black, and I was born this way. See, nobody made me into a lesbian. I was born this way.
Right, but you were made to have sex with God.
But God, unless God has unless God's tongue is amazing. I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
Unless he has an amazing tongue, I'm not having sex with God. Sorry. Had enough. Look, I tell people.
Not going to argue with you.
I've had enough dick to last a whole bunch of lifetimes. And you know what? It left me wanting. And guess what? I'm a lesbian. And it's not because really, guys? See, this is why I don't. See, this is why I shouldn't even be listening to you. see, you're
nothing but trouble. Nothing but trouble.
You know, you got black people talking about, you know, the reason why I'm a lesbian is because I was born a eunuch. And I need, and if I pray
hard but see, you know, consent is a two-way street, Tracy. As Carol Baker just asked, what if God don't want to have sex with Tracy?
Right.
I mean, what's she wearing?
You know, I got on the yoga pants, a big old boxy t-shirt. Look, I'm an overweight, middle-aged black woman. I don't think God wants me. I think he wants that nubile, the gravity has hit in spots that I didn't even know that gravity could hit. I got more than one chin. And, you know, I don't think God wants to have sex with me. I know he don't. Because, see, no. And then as somebody, I would be a dead lay anyway. So, what?
Nothing.
So,
just nothing.
I'm glad. Thank you for taking my call. Thank you for letting me know that I'm a eunuch. I'm a lesbian and a eunuch. I can't wait to tell Jan, because basically, if I get it straight, it's being gay is not a black thing. White people turned me out. Oh, and it's true, Bob. A white woman did turn me out. Shit. So, it's Jan's fault.
It's the Jews.
It's the Jews, man. It's the Jews.
Somebody call Mel Gibson and Richard Spencer and Steve Bannon. They done got another one.
They ain't got another one. Tell me what's happening with fundraising, because I'm going to do a challenge as I bounce.
Well, we've got a $200 challenge on the table that has been met down to $155.32.
Okay, well, I'm going to throw it at a hundred and how much? 152 what?
155.32.
Okay, I'm going to do $27 and... Am I doing that right? $27. Divide that by 2, the 50-something part.
Oh, 55, yeah, $27.16.
16 cents, okay.
No, 27, no, 27.66.
27.66, yes. 27.
You and me, we'll get this straight.
Oh, screw it. Just make it $30. Okay.
No, because then you leave me with the loose change.
Okay, then back to what we said, $27.66. So that's the challenge. Let's at least get it down to, you know.
No. So $27. And no, just make it 27. I'll tell you what, make it $25.32.
Okay.
No, okay. Wait. Yes. Wait.
See, you're screwing yourself out of money, Bob.
No, it's 62 cents. Okay. $27 okay. And 62 cents. I'm just trying to get rid of the loose change.
Okay. $27 and 62 cents.
$25 and 62 cents.
25, okay. Whatever.
$130 to go.
Thank you.
Thank you. Tracy, have a good night and drive carefully.
I'm home now. My wife bought me a Philly cheesesteak sandwich.
Oh, so you're just going to run in the door, honey? Honey, we're lesbian eunuchs?
Yeah, so...
Hava Nagila. No.
Hava Nagila. Anyway, love you guys.
Love you. I'm going to hell with you. I mean, just
with gasoline drinks, draws, brother. Hand in hand. If I go first, I'll save a spot for you.
Really, we're just going to sit outside the gates and tease people with ice cubes.
Yes, that's what we put it on a stick. You want it? Nope. You want it? Nope.
Oh, too slow.
Too slow, sucker.
See you, Tracy.
Bye.
Goodbye. I think we got $130 in fundraising to meet Johannes's challenge. Jesus. Why? How does this happen? Oh. Meanwhile, a note coming from Laurel. I can see it now. Trump on his first presidential trip to Asia, standing in front of a huge temple with a huge grin on his face while the guide tries to explain to him, no, Mr. President. It's Angkor Wat, not Yanker Twat. Oh. 4 years of this? I got 4 years of this coming? Oh, and by the way, I was just told to award Tracy a cowbell by Darlene up in Connecticut. Subject line, I've had enough dick to last a lifetime. I'm sorry, Bob, says Darlene. Tracy should have gotten the toaster or at least the cowbell for that one. Can't stop laughing here in Connecticut. Yes, Laurel, you're going, yes, you're going to hell for that one. That was terrible. Oh, well, Devin, come on. I'm trying to be an optimist here. Devin goes, no, Bob, 8 years. Don't tell me that. I'm not even okay. I'm just trying to get inured to the idea of four. Oh, hell, let's just go ahead and go for the gusto. 16. Let's add in 8 for Vice President Pencil Neck Geek. Why not? Meanwhile, just a wee bit west and a little tad north of here. Down the road a piece, we got Brother Deacon Gerald. Help me, Gerald.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Good evening, Brother Gerald.
How art thou?
I art been better, I think.
Oh, really? You know, I don't know.
After that, I mean...
I don't think I am. Anyway, I just finished off a piece of that peach cobbler.
Wasn't it wonderful?
It was delicious.
Little old blue-haired lady squirreled away a hunk of it for you in a bowl. Plastic wrap over it, and some Cool Whip on it.
One of the perks of being the chairman of the Buildings and Ground Committee is I have the keys to the thermostat control in the fellowship hall.
Ah,
see. But anyway,
that's what happens to the leftovers.
I don't know what you're talking about. I really don't.
I know. I just between I was suddenly speaking in tongues, wasn't I? You didn't even hear. No,
I couldn't understand a word you said.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess for
it's one of those nights, Gerald. I mean, it just is.
Yes, yes, it is. Whew. I'm pretty full after that.
Yeah. Well, I can understand. I mean,
I seriously did just have a piece of pie, but it wasn't peach cobbler.
I could use some peach cobbler. Would be good. Peach cobbler would be very good.
Pie my wife bought today.
Hmm. You know, up to the Wiggling Pig, they've been they periodically they'll have lemon and coconut, not at the same time, lemon or coconut chess pie.
Yes.
And it's very tasty. It's not as good as the orange coconut pie at Tamarack, but it is good pie.
I have a weakness for pumpkin pie, just like I do for cheese. I'm just powerless against cheese.
Yeah, like the little mouse in the Warner Brothers cartoon. You know, cheese, I simply adore cheese.
Yes, yes.
Well, you have to go look at your local Kroger's and see if, you know what, maybe go to the one over in Kanawha City.
Well, I have to, because the one in Elkview is still closed.
Well, that's true. And I guess the La Quinta is done for too, isn't it?
Well, maybe the new owners will build a bridge. I don't know.
Kroger's has been, my Kroger has been carrying this aged Havarti.
Well, someone with my cholesterol numbers really shouldn't indulge like that.
Yeah, like I should.
Even though I do.
But I tell myself, hey, it's like got protein in it or something.
Milk.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. I mean,
does a body good?
Right, right. I mean, it's got to be good, right?
Good and good for you.
I have heard rumor that the little old blue haired ladies are going to be putting on a turkey dinner tomorrow in the fellowship hall.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes, that's the last word I heard.
Very nice, very nice.
That'd be good for the front porch too.
You know? I like it. I love it when they make that cranberry relish Jello salad with the celery and the walnuts in it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's good stuff. Of course, I won't be around, but I'll be in another county.
to be yet yeah, the shall remain nameless. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, that one. But anyway, yeah.
And will there be somewhere within hearing distance, regrettably, crazy old Uncle Fox?
No, not there. No, I won't have to put up with that until Christmas.
Well, that's almost like a reprieve.
Well, kind of. It may be because most of them are convicted felons and can't vote anyway. So that was a joke.
I know.
I'm glad they don't listen to the show.
Oh, secretly you wish they did.
No, that would be an awful fight. Not our argument. Would not be good. That's why it's a joke. It's a joke. Well, anyway, it's a bit airish, isn't it?
It has been a mite airish. It got particularly airish a couple of nights ago because I am at present, and it just snuck up on me, Gerald. I didn't realize it was already propane season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a thing, propane season.
Yes. Yes, it is. It helps to keep from sleeping in the cold anyway.
And, you know, I don't mind sleeping a little bit cold, but when you wake up and you can see your breath.
Yeah.
That's a little rough.
Yeah, that really sucks. Big time.
I let cold weather sneak up on me. Haven't found my good warm coat. It's rough.
You'll be okay.
Well, I mean, I've got layers of fat and stuff to keep.
You said it. I didn't say that.
I know. But of course, the warmest human being on Earth is Agnes, and bless her heart, she freezes, but she emanates warmth, and yeah, it's a lovely thing.
Well, that must be an X chromosome thing, I guess, because my wife is the same way. And it's hot in here. I can't stand it. It's hot in here. You know, it's, you know, 60 degrees in the house, and it's hot in here.
Well,
and her mother's the same way.
Yeah, and we've taken of late. We've been binge watching a show called Black Sails.
Hmm.
With pirates.
Pirates.
Yeah, a lot of pirate, and it's and no, it's a fun show. A lot of actually historical characters from the Pirate Republic of the early 18th century in Nassau, Bahamas, and intrigue and costumes and nudity, and yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we just finished season one and got started on season two, and did I mention there's also gore?
Gore, like blood and
guts, you know, and veins in my teeth, and yeah.
Oh yeah, you don't get that quality cinema anymore. It's all censored. Of course, that reminds me. Did you watch that on Netflix?
Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
And you know what? I like Amazon Prime better than Netflix for a technical reason, not so much a selection. But they've got the X-ray thing over on the side where you can read up on who the actors are, and you're like, who the hell is that? And you just touch it, and oh, that's who that is. But they've got the little buttons there that'll take you like 10 seconds forward and 10 seconds back. And it's really a lot handier than just trying to scrub to the right place when you're trying to just get through the damn credits.
Yeah.
You know, you watch the credits once and you pretty much got the credits.
Yeah, I mean, who watches the credits anyway?
Well, I do once.
Well, maybe once. I don't know. I don't watch that much anyway. I mean, really, on the tube. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I am guilty of that. But anyway, we're thinking about. The wife has been watching. What is it? HBO Now. Not HBO Go. So she's wanting to cancel the Netflix subscription and do that, which naturally costs more. But Yeah, I don't care either way because I don't watch them anyway.
It's a Westworld thing, isn't it?
No, it's actually for my son. There's some shows that are available on there that aren't available anywhere else.
Ah, okay.
That he likes. And so, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. And, of course, Netflix just hit the credit card for their subscription this month. So, you know, too late to cancel it for this month.
Right. You're stuck with it for another month.
Yeah, that's how my life goes. But while I was calling in, and I sent you the link to this, I think.
Yeah, you did. I've got it.
And I hate to kill the mood. I like to switch gears though, but this I think we need to talk about this.
I agree.
You know, Dateline, Charleston, West Virginia.
Of course.
On Monday night, a man by the name of William Ronald Pulliam shot and killed a 15-year-old boy. On the streets, on the East Washington Street, right down from the Capitol. And you know, you see this kind of stuff, and it goes on. You know, we kind of get numb to it after a while. But the particular article, I don't want to. This one I'm looking at. I need to find the other one. I want to quote him directly. Just the things the guy said and did. Of course, he's pleading that he's innocent and it was self-defense. But William Robert Pulliam, 62, of Charleston, faces a charge of first-degree murder in the Monday night shooting death of 15-year-old James Harvey Means. Mr. Pulliam was going to the Dollar General store. And James Means was sitting on the porch with some of his friends across the street. And I guess they bumped into each other. That's the initial report. And Mr. Pulliam went to the into the store, made his purchase, and came out. And allegedly, James Means, the 15-year-old boy, came across the street, and they got an argument. And Mr. Pulliam shot him twice in the abdomen. It says here with a .380 caliber revolver.
Yeah, which probably means a .38 caliber revolver, because a .380 is a semi-automatic. Jesus Christ, can't people... never mind.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter. The little boy is just as dead.
Well, that, young man, yes.
Young man. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's .380 or .38 or an .88 Magnum.
220, 225.
Okay, you got it. I'm glad you did. What gets me is the police, the guy shoots him, Means, the boy, who's black, by the way. Mr. Pulliam is white, shoots him, and then goes and has dinner and goes to his friend's house. And according to the criminal complaint, Pulliam admitted to the police that he shot Means. They found him an hour later, by the way. Said he shot Means and said, quote, "The way I look at it, that's another piece of trash off the street," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
The only code word he didn't use there was thug. That's the one he's missed, you know, because they always want to throw that out there. Turns out Mr. Pulliam has had a violent past.
Little domestic violence here and there.
Yeah, and he wasn't even supposed to have a gun.
No.
But, you know, that was my initial...
Yeah, he punched his pregnant daughter in the stomach back in, what, 2013?
Yeah, and hit his wife.
Bet I know how he voted. Sorry.
Well, I would say you would probably... I would not take that bet, put it that way. The thing that disturbs me the most about it is he just, you know, he shot the boy, left him laying there on the sidewalk or in the street, wherever it was. Walked away and had dinner as if nothing had happened.
And then when they finally arrest him, and I do mean finally arrest him, and they take him before the magistrate, he was amazed that he was going to have to go to jail.
Yeah, he was pissed because he couldn't be arraigned or have his initial preliminary hearing till the 1st. And I'm switching the articles back and forth here because it's not all in the same one. But basically, he was complaining that he was going to lose his job and lose everything unless he got out of there. You know, I mean, just shot him and left
twice.
Him there. Yeah, and walked away like nothing.
Yeah, apparently he and the you know teenager bumped into each other or something on the way into the store.
Yeah, I thought I'd said that.
And
yeah,
then on the way, but then coming out of the store, he deliberately goes back by where the kids are hanging out on somebody's porch.
Yeah, but according to what I read, the kid comes across the street to him.
Yeah.
Unless I misread that, and I don't think I did. Which, you know, does not warrant a death penalty. And I'm sure there was probably things said, but you know, you can't just go around shooting people because they say mean things to you. I know sometimes you'd like to, but it doesn't work that way. So this guy's probably sitting in jail up there and wondering, you know, why is he there? You know, he didn't do anything wrong. And that's basically when you read the other article about what his lawyer said, you know, he doesn't, there's no remorse, or there doesn't appear to be. You know, when your first thing you say to the police that make the arrest, the way I look at it, that's another piece of trash off the street, kind of puts into question his character, you know?
Well, and more things do, too. He's apparently a sexagenarian bully.
Yeah, that was... I'd read that too.
Because he'd had problems with another neighborhood kid because he was picking on the kid's little brother. And
yeah.
So the one kid, James Cooper, goes over and says, it was Tiano White. He went over and said, "You got to quit picking on my little brother. That doesn't look right." And Pulliam says, "Get the fuck off my property. Go on with your nappy Latino self."
Yeah. Yeah, that was in yesterday's article, which I can't pinpoint. But everything I need to know is right here. You know, and my first thought before I even knew about Mr. Pulliam's violent history and the fact that he wasn't allowed to possess a firearm, do you know what the first thing I thought?
What?
Guns for everybody. Guns for everybody. That's what you get when you give guns to anybody that wants them. And they can just walk up and down the street unmolested with guns.
Meanwhile, he dumped the gun at his girlfriend's house.
Right.
So that kind of tells you he knew he wasn't supposed to have one, right?
Of course. But, I mean, he shot the kid twice in the abdomen, is all it says.
Yeah. He gut shot him.
Yeah, it walked off and left him. I don't think he lived long. They took him to the hospital, and it didn't say how long it was before he died. But
he did some damage because the hospital's, what, 5 blocks down the street?
It's not very far. Yeah. Maybe five. Probably five, yeah.
I mean, on the same street.
Yes, the exact same street with, like, you know, 5 or 6 blocks.
But this is, you know, this is a cranky old white guy who doesn't have any business, doesn't have any legal business having a gun, who guns down a teenage black kid. Is this like making national headlines?
I think somebody picked it up. Should have marked that.
I mean, not to be an asshole here, Gerald, but that idiotic racist woman in Clay County got more press.
Well, it took a few days though before she started getting it, so maybe this will get picked up. I kind of doubt it because, you know, she was white and this boy was black. But I guess the thing that sticks out the most to me is here in little old low crime rate West Virginia, we have things like this happening now. And I can't help but think it's more than a coincidence with the election of Donald J. Trump. I mean, maybe I'm reading more into it than it is, but
it seems I don't necessarily think you are.
I think the Trumpansies feel empowered now that they can do these sort of things without.
Well, how many crimes have there been, Gerald, where the Trumpansie has said, "Trump's my president, and I can do this now"?
Oh yeah, I've read several articles where women have been assaulted, sexually assaulted, in college parking lots and things
the
like
little
that.
Girl in the middle school, in the elementary school.
Yeah. So, it's going to be a long 4 years.
Which, Devin dutifully reminds us, is 8.
Well, it very well could be.
I was talking to Boss Man Wayne earlier today. And I repeated to him what I've said into this microphone, and that is, none of us has any, and I think this is one of the things that's so unsettling to us all, Gerald. There's nobody alive who has ever lived in American-style fascism. There have been fascist elements to American government. It's been more and less. I mean, Nixon clearly had fascist tendencies. But what's coming, there's a sense that there's something on the road here that we've never met before. And I think a lot of us are kind of ill at ease trying to figure out what it's going to look like. And we're getting more ill at ease because of all these stories coming out that tend to indicate what is coming our way is really, really nasty. I mean, what was it? Are we up to 200 incidents? I mean, what was it? I can't remember the number from last night over at... let me see if I can call it up real quick. Over at the Southern Poverty Law Center. Oh, I'm sorry. More than 700 incidents.
And that's part of that's what worries me. People like Mr. Pulliam here, and I found some other ingenious quotes that he's made today when WCHS interviewed him. At the jail, and this is the type of thing he's saying. Of course, you know the.
Why isn't a lawyer telling him to shut the up?
Well, the magistrate told him that it wouldn't be in his best interest because I think when he was arrested, you know, when he was complaining about not being able to get out and go to work, he said, "Don't I get to say anything?" And I believe the magistrate said it's probably best that you don't, and he did anyway. But of course, now Pulliam is claiming that Means had a gun. That was the rest of the story I was trying to get to, and I couldn't find it. And this is according to WCHS-TV. But one of the things he says is, if they charge me with a hate crime, because the U.S. attorney's looking into a hate crime charge.
As one would hope.
Well, you would hope. He says, this quote, if they charge me with a hate crime, they can, but they got to prove that I hate black people and I don't. And that's the end of the quote. And then he goes on to say, race had nothing to do with why I shot Means. He said, I did say this. Now, I'll admit this. I said, what is wrong with black people today? I'm not trying to be Donald Trump or anything, but anybody here will have to say that there's something going wrong here in the world now with black and white. End quote.
Oh, God, that's what Angry and I were talking about last night. Oh, what about all this black-on-black crime? Chicago.
But he really opens up to WCHS here. He says one of the things he says to them is these are all quotes. He says, "Hey, this is what his friends were telling Means. His friends were telling him as he was looking at him from across the street. Hey, bust a cap, man." And he said they went on to say, "And here he comes dancing across the street, like he's looking at me, just like I'm looking at his eyes, because I'm thinking, man, this guy, when is he going to pull the trigger?" And this is all so he can set up his self-defense plea.
Right, right.
"Is he going to shoot me in the leg, in the head? What the hell, you know?" Means said all that. this guy needs to shut the hell up. But anyway, he says, anybody who thinks I went and gunned that kid down, now, I mean, take me straight to the electric chair right now and I'll sit in it if I did that, but God, this is so hard to read, but that's not the way it went, man. When you're facing murder one, your best bet would be not to say anything at all, especially to the media. But, that goes back to the whole thing where I'd say this guy feels empowered now because we have a president-elect Trump. And it's okay. It's okay to go out and shoot black kids and Muslims and
right, because there's something wrong with them.
Right. And, we've been down this road. Not in this country, but we've been down this road before. I'm worried. I really am.
You've got a right to be. Let's see. Let's check out a little bit of the audio from Mr. Pulliam, shall we?
Sure.
I hope.
The man accused of shooting and killing 15-year-old James Means, William Pulliam, is charged with first-degree murder and admits to killing the teen Monday night on Washington Street. Today, we found out William Pulliam was not legally allowed to possess a gun.
Eyewitness News reporter Leslie Rubin looked into Pulliam's past.
William Pulliam was convicted of domestic battery in 2013, which made it illegal for him to have, possess, own, or buy a gun. Now he's defending his actions, claiming self-defense in the shooting death as the investigation has reached a federal level.
If they charge me with a hate crime, they can, but they got to prove that I hate black people. And I don't.
William Pulliam says race had nothing to do with why he shot and killed 15-year-old James Means on the East End Monday night.
I did say this. Now, I'll admit this. I said, what is wrong with black people today? Now, I'm not trying to be Donald Trump or anything, but anybody here will have to say that there's something going wrong here in the world now. With black and white.
Pulliam says Means and his friends were taunting him and...
Here's the thing, Gerald. This guy will be a martyr for outfits like the National Policy Institute and the Klan and Richard Spencer and Steve Bannon almost overnight once this story gets a couple more legs.
Yeah, because they're going to paint James Means as a thug.
Right.
And I'm going to put air quotes around that, even though you can't see it. But something I wanted you to go back to in that interview, and I wasn't even going to get into this, but it just I just caught it again. When he says, if they charge me with a hate crime, they got to prove that I hate. Did you hear him trip up there?
Yeah, I did. You mean the little hitch?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go back just for the fun of it, shall we?
I don't think that's what he was going to say.
No.
And I don't.
William Pulliam.
Okay, hold on.
His race had not.
If they charge me with a hate crime, they can, but they got to prove that I hate black people.
Yeah, that wasn't the internet hiccup in there. They got to prove that I hate black people. Yeah.
Of course, I don't want to put any words into his mouth, but. And then again, I don't want to make.
Now, even though he's putting words into the victim's mouth.
Well, yeah, because, who's going to... He's dead. He can't defend himself.
Funny how that happens when you shoot people.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But the thing is, it's going to be... And I wouldn't be surprised if this thing doesn't go all... I mean, if you're convicted of first-degree murder, you get an automatic appeal to the Supreme Court of this state. Or at least it used to be that way.
I don't know. I'll have to take your word for it.
So here's a novel question. If you mount, can you mount a self-defense claim via the use of a firearm if you yourself were legally barred from possessing a firearm? And the key word there is possess.
Correct.
Okay. It's not own.
Allowed to even touch
it's not own. Otherwise, You know, somebody else could live in his house and have an arsenal, and it would all be his. But he'd say, "Oh no, no, those belong to Fred over there. I don't own those.
Oh, well, those belong to my wife." And by the way, that goes on all the time.
Yeah, but the word is possess. So
he most definitely did when he was walking down East Washington Street in Charleston, West Virginia, Monday night.
Yeah. And so I mean, this thing has layers. I mean, but this is the kind of thing that you know, lawyers sit around drinking expensive scotch, talking to each other about. In that, even if the gun was laying on the pavement and it wasn't his, in that instant he picks it up, he possesses it.
Correct. And he has committed a felony right then.
At that moment.
On top of the murder.
I mean, this could. I don't. I don't even know if this has been addressed by the United States Supreme Court. Can a person who is legally barred from possessing a firearm use a firearm in an act of self-defense?
Well, I would say no.
I would say no too.
Because.
But the NRA would not say no.
Well, of course, the NRA would not say so.
And the GOP would not say no. I mean, they're kind of one and the same thing and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's... it's definitely a bad thing. Here was the original article that I read last night. They have a date 8:45 p.m. Monday. At the corner of Washington and Nancy Streets, and there's no mention of James Means having a gun. It just goes on to tell about his history where what was the guy's name? White had went over, told him that he shouldn't be picking on his little brother. It wasn't right, and he told him to get off his property and get on with his nappy Latino self and all that. Here's what he says when he's arrested, when he goes before the magistrate, which is done by teleconference because he's out at the jail and the magistrate's downtown. Kanawha County Magistrate Ward Harshberger, Pulliam asked, don't I get to say anything? And the magistrate advised him against doing so before speaking with an attorney. And then he goes on to say, "I'll lose my job and everything if I can get out of here." I assume they meant to say can't get out of here. "I'm going to have to go on a hunger strike," he muttered, as he was escorted out of the video conference room by a correctional officer. And then he goes on to talk about his 2013 charge of domestic battery, which bars him from legally possessing a gun, which we go right back to what you were just saying. Even if it's laying on the street and he picks it up at that instance, it is in his possession. Right?
Absolutely.
And I don't know how you could spin that any other way. So, you know.
Yeah, but see, here's where it gets interesting, though. The right of self-defense is absolute. Okay? The right of self-defense predates firearms.
Yes, and I wouldn't argue against anyone not defending themselves.
Right.
However.
Right, but what you're going to have is you're going to have two laws in direct conflict with each other. Because he's going to say, "Well, I couldn't defend myself. I'm 62 year old man. That young buck was a coming after me." Right.
With a gun.
Which one's going to win? Now, in Florida, this guy would just walk. He wouldn't even be charged. Because their stand your ground law says all he has to do is say, "I was afeard."
Well, that's supposedly what it's supposed to be here. I don't think he'll walk here. At least I would hope not.
As usual, stay out of the comments section. Okay. Gazette is trying to make sure they push this as a race situation. because that's the Democrat prerogative right now, when in reality it just sounds like cold-blooded murder. Let the guy rot in jail, but don't instigate racial tensions without any evidence of it. I got nothing against black people, he said. Jesus Christ.
Oh, it's terrible. Well, that's why I never get into comments down there, because it's...
Oh, I generally know better.
I do, too. I can feel the IQ points dripping out of my ears. I really don't like to get down on that level. Now, the one article, the one from last night, when they originally broke the story, all the comments are actually against him. At least the initial ones. And I'm not going to go through them because it's the same old shit over and over. But interesting how this turns out. Another story that I've followed, and it's been a couple years now, was a guy, I think his name was Reeves, shot another guy in Florida at a movie theater over an argument over text messaging.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, he was an ex-cop, the guy, the killer.
Right, and that hasn't gone to trial yet. And he claimed self-defense, and I actually saw the video on that. And, you know, that's the type of thing you get when everybody's got a gun. Because a lot of people shouldn't have access to firearms because they can't control their temper. And when people can't control their temper and they have firearms within easy access, people die. It's just that simple. But that was another, you know, Florida is a different, whole different thing. The Wesley Chapel movie theater shooting case is what that one was.
Yeah.
He shot and killed Chad Olson, and actually is wounded Olson's wife in the process. So, and I'll see how that one goes. I kind of check on that every few months, see where it's at, because I'm sure that one won't make it back into the national media.
Oh, another thing that Pulliam said. I'm not going to take a bunch of punks beating me up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Punks.
Punks. Yeah, I forgot about that part. But there's like three different articles, so you have to scan back and forth to get it all. Some of it's on the WCHS, some of it's on the Gazette Mail. But, yeah, I just thought we ought to toss that one out and air it out a little bit, see what became of it. I don't know how he would ever get out of any of this. Especially when they don't find a gun that James Means had in his possession that Mr. Pulliam is accusing him of having.
Yeah. I mean, you would think that if he had a gun on him and he had crossed the street away from his pals, his buddies, his friends, then there would have been a gun recovered?
Well, one would think, especially since Mr. Means just shot him twice in the abdomen and walked off. And I have not seen any mention of a gun in Means's possession other than today when Pulliam claimed, that's his claim when he had the interview with WCHS, that he was defending himself, naturally. Because we knew self-defense was going to come into this. But the point I was wanting to make about that shooting in Florida, the guy... And these are two white guys.
Yeah.
The older guy, Reeves, was a captain or something of Tampa Bay police or something like that. Gets pissed because Olson is sitting in front of him and he's texting his babysitter during the previews of the movie, which nobody watches. So he gets pissed off. He goes out of the theater, complains to the manager, and the manager is not moving fast enough or whatever, or isn't going to do anything about it. So Reeves, the shooter, gets pissed, gets pushy with Olson. Olson stands up and allegedly throws popcorn at him or something like that. And Reeves pulls out a .380 pistol and shoots him in the chest and kills him dead. So to me, I don't know how you could claim self-defense there when you left. You escalated the situation, left, and came back. You know, once he left, the threat was over. And then he caused the threat the second time. So it'll be interesting how that one comes out. I have a feeling he's going to walk, but...
Oh, I do too. It's Florida.
Because it's Florida.
And you know, to law enforcement's credit in Charleston, they didn't, you know, after the whole, you know, took a while to find him kind of thing, they didn't waste a lot of time charging him with first-degree murder.
Well, it only took them an hour to find him. And, that, you know, that's not bad, I wouldn't think.
No, but they the important thing is they charged him with first-degree murder.
Yes, which is surprising. I'm surprised that they charged him with first-degree murder. I really am.
I mean, maybe it's finally... Nah, let's not get all hopeful that they're finally figuring out that... But then again, law enforcement didn't particularly want people running around gunned up to their ears.
No, not here. At least none of the local law enforcement. The Charleston City PD, I know that the deputy sheriffs were opposed to that and showed up at the Capitol when they were pushing that bill through. I don't think that we have that a whole lot of a issue with the police in Charleston as far as stuff we see in the bigger cities. And it may just be because it's a smaller city. But I don't know.
No. What we have out of the Charleston Police Department is the cop who occasionally gets caught making Nazi videos with his 5-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they all have them.
or the cop who got caught taking a homeless man's backpack that contained all of his worldly goods, including the only pictures he had of his late wife, and throwing them in the Elk River.
Yes, I remember that. That was just a few years ago.
Just a couple, yeah.
Well, I mean, you're going to have that regardless, wherever you go. It's when the whole department's like that is when it's bad. And I really don't want to lump them all into one, you know.
No, I don't either. But I mean, there's always work to be done. But I am kind of glad that they didn't lollygag around and wait to, well, you know, we're going to have a thorough investigation of this, and we might charge him with stream littering. I'm glad they didn't. But the larger issue, and it's not a police issue. The larger issue is, how'd he get the gun? Where'd he get the gun? Who sold him the gun? Did he?
Yeah, because they're just as indictable as he is now.
You would hope.
If you knowingly sell a firearm, even though it's a private party sale, to someone who is barred from possession of that.
You're an accessory, are you not?
I'm pretty sure you can be charged. Of course, then... The whole thing, well, I didn't know. You would have, you know, the courts would have to prove that you knew that he had a domestic violence charge against him and was barred from owning firearms or possessing firearms. Let's not even say owning, let's say possess. So, you know, that would be a long, drawn-out thing. That might be a hard case to prove. But, you know, how did he get the gun? Where did it come from? Which goes back to the whole thing that I said when I initially read this story. Everybody gets a gun, you
know? Right. And I think all of this all kind of got precipitated by a remark the other night about, you know, I guess now I gotta get a gun.
Yeah, I think I instigated that as well.
Damned instigator, outside agitator,
but call me Maytag.
but I mean, that's a It's a serious question. Do we all need to go out and get guns now so we can protect ourselves against the horde of Trumpansies?
Well, I don't see any good coming from that.
Nor I.
You know, in my line on gun ownership in this country is it's probably not as hard as yours is. You know, I don't want the government to come and take your guns, but if you're not stable enough to possess one, maybe we ought to have some regulation in place to keep people who shouldn't have guns from getting guns.
Well, let's be constitutional originalists here, like Fat Dead Tony Scalia, shall we? You know, we have a Second Amendment because of Minutemen and citizen soldiers and freedom, right?
Right.
And the Redcoats who come and took our guns. Well, everybody really was part of a well-regulated militia back then. There were even laws that required people to maintain X amount of shot and powder and firearm so that they could be called up for said militia. But here's the thing. I don't recall reading anywhere that the Founding Fathers required the village idiot to be a part of the militia. Now, maybe I'm being a little bit flippant there, Gerald, but I think you see what I'm getting at.
Of course I see what you're getting at. And that just reinforces what I just said.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you call out the militia, everybody's marching off to meet the redcoats, and Cousin Cletus there, it takes bang, and, you know, shoots another militia member.
Hey, boys, look at this.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Again.
Yeah. But, you know, that's my line on firearm ownership in this country. I mean, if you're going to own a gun, you need to be responsible. And if you do dumb shit with it, like this guy did, you need to be held accountable for it. And, you know, I don't think that's unreasonable. Of course, the NRA
is it unreasonable for me to say that the blood of young Mr. Means is on the hands of every single member of the West Virginia legislature who voted for the concealed carry no permit bill?
I don't know if I'd go that far, but I would say they are at least somewhat complicit in it. Because this guy legally isn't allowed to have one anyway.
Right.
Which brings us to the other part of the problem, is the availability of firearms in this country. I mean, there are just so many. Which is why I kind of laugh when the NRA say, oh, they're coming to, Obama's going to come and take your guns. Do you know how long it would take to round up all the guns in this country?
Longer than it would take to round up all the undocumented immigrants.
Exactly.
And that's in excess of 100 years.
There are that many guns in this country. I don't think people really sit and think that through when they start believing that. But, you know, and this guy, in my opinion, is a prime example of someone who shouldn't be allowed to own a firearm. And he's not. But yet, he had one.
Yeah, that part of the system worked. But when you walk in there at the great big annual National Guard Armory gun sale and swap meet... And,
yeah,
I mean, if you've got somebody who's selling on an FFL, federal firearms license from, you know, say, Bob's Gun Store, well, you got to go through the paperwork. But if you've just got a guy sitting at a booth who's got a bunch of pistols and is not a dealer or anything, he's just there to do a little dickering and swapping and whatnot.
I just like to trade around, just have different stuff. And he's not doing anything illegal, the guy sitting there with all the...
No.
He doesn't have an FFL.
But... Billy Joe Bob Jim Frank there, who apparently, you know, has a hankering to kill him a teenager. He is doing something illegal. I mean, is he even allowed inside a gun show?
Well, he probably is, as long as he does not possess one.
So he can't even touch one inside the gun show.
No, not the way I see it. If he picks one up, he is in violation. I mean, that's the way
but
I
there's,
see
but
it.
But anyway. There's no way of stopping him. And the thing is, there's no way of having that. Nobody in government can know, because freedom.
Oh, yeah.
When he just buys from a private purchaser.
Right.
And, of course, if you go on various forums, they've got coded language.
Oh, yeah, like Craigslist.
Like Craigslist.
You're not allowed to sell firearms or ammunition on Craigslist, but they're code words like, 94 four-wheeler, we like to trade for something that goes boom.
Yep.
You know, that type of stuff. Bang for sale, things like that. because they've figured out how to work around the Craigslist algorithm that flags those posts for having firearms in them. But yeah, so where do we go? What? How do we fix this? I mean, well, we're not going to, right?
Well, now. We're not going to. I think Ron and Raleigh's take has the right idea, though. He says, "Fuck buying a gun. The Second Amendment does not apply to black men. I want to buy body armor. I'm not as scared as these white folks appear to be. I just want to protect myself from Cletus."
Well, you just need to get on Craigslist and buy your body armor. I'm just kidding.
Are ordinary citizens allowed to own body armor?
I think you can. Yeah. I'm not real sure. Probably get you on some kind of list.
I mean, that'll be okay in the winter, but it's going to be a mite muggy.
Well, you know,
in the hot weather months.
I have a couple of friends who are in law enforcement and wear it every day, and I've, you know, been with them or around them when they're going to work, coming from work, and have that stuff on. No, it would not be very comfortable. I would think it'd be extremely hot in the summertime. But, yeah, I mean, as long as we can...
That law has been in effect since May, so I guess it's a miracle that we don't have more numbers than we do.
Well, it's probably the fact that an actual license is so easy to get in his state that.
But little Jimmy Means gave his life for freedom.
If you say so.
Because, you know, I mean, if you're going to have freedom, you're going to have to break some eggs to have your freedom omelet.
Well, I guess as long as they're dark eggs, right?
Brown eggs.
Exactly. And you know, that's what I read when I see this guy, the shit that he has said. You know, he has no remorse. None at all. I mean, he might say that he is, but he hasn't really said that.
And let's remember the beginning of the story. Just taking another piece of trash off the street.
Exactly. Which he now denies, saying he's walking that back. The way I look at it, that's another piece of trash off the street. And that's in the official complaint. So evidently he told the cop that arrested him that, or it wouldn't be in the report or in the complaint, I wouldn't think.
No, I mean, that's
because I'm sure... Whichever police officer arrested him, may have been this detective, Charleston Police Detective C.C. Loy, found the gun allegedly used to kill James Means at the friend's home. And they named the friend, it was a woman, in one of these articles. But, I mean, I'm sure he wasn't alone when he made the arrest. So I'm sure there was another officer there that can... verify that is indeed what he said, or obviously it wouldn't be in the criminal complaint, now would it?
Probably not. Or I mean, it'll be admissible at trial because you know he's a party. It's not like it's hearsay or anything,
right?
Moreover, if there's dash cam or body cam footage, well. Right?
Right. I don't know if they've got body cams yet or not in Charleston. I don't think they have them yet. I know they bought some. They were buying some. But, yeah. We don't see this a lot around here. I guess that's why I'm kind of taken back by it. I mean, there's a lot of black-on-black killings. But those are generally, in Huntington, where we know that Detroit drug traffic is big, and on the west side of Charleston. But we don't see a lot of this. And, I mean, and this guy, like I said, he's remorseless. He doesn't care. He thinks he's in the right. And that's a problem.
You know, there's one other little clue here. There's a follow-up article in the Gazette talking about how his lawyer claims he's not guilty.
Yes, I was actually quoting from that one earlier.
But the one, let's see,
the one that was did the one dated today.
A jail employee said Wednesday that Pulliam refused a request for an interview on Wednesday with the Gazette Mail. Now, he wanted to be on TV real bad, but he turns down a request with the Gazette because, you know, the Gazette's all liberal.
Right, a liberal rag.
So, yeah.
But he did do an interview with the TV news. Yeah, well, he's not going to get out on bail until the 1st, which he's mad anyway.
Well, I hope to hell he doesn't get out on bail.
Well, I don't either, but because he might go get him another gun, shoot another black kid on the street.
Probably does. Well, it seems like he doesn't have any trouble accessing him.
Doesn't seem like it's very hard, does it?
No, I wouldn't say it's even much in the way of a challenge.
There it is. Lieutenant Steve Cooper said Pulliam was arrested near the scene of the shooting about 10 p.m. Monday, just more than 1 hour after Means was shot. So he had time to go home, had dinner, and went to a female friend's house, is what the complaint says. Because, you know, nothing works up an appetite like killing somebody.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want a hearty meal at the end after a good killing.
I don't think I could eat after killing somebody. I think I'd be sick to my stomach throwing up. But you know, I have morals. Some people don't. I have empathy for my fellow man, regardless of what color they are.
And some people don't.
And some people don't. It's going to be a long 4 years. Or 8 years.
God, I hope it's not 8.
Oh, I don't know. I want to stay positive about
it. Are you reading these stories about the statistical voting anomalies?
Yeah. They're calling for some recounts, like in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. Interesting. To say the least.
Well, I wonder if Hillary will go the recount route. I saw a story just before airtime saying that Jill Stein was calling for a recount.
Well, I don't guess it really matters who does it.
Right.
As long as they're entitled.
I mean, it'd be nice if she did because, you know, she'd actually be useful.
Yeah. God, I'm really down about this. I thought about that a long time yesterday after I read that article. Here we got a 15-year-old kid who was killed, murdered.
Because a cranky old white man viewed him as trash.
Yes. And, you know, you would have to stretch pretty far to convince me that racism isn't involved in that.
Yeah, I would be convincible of that.
Like I said, it's going to be a long 4 to 8 years.
Too long.
But anyway, that's all I've got.
All right. Well, Gerald, it's awful good to hear from you. Enjoyed hanging out with you a little bit last Friday. That's always fun.
It's a little loud.
It was too much band, too little room.
Maybe we're just too old.
That's geezers. What they always said. Geezers.
It's too loud, you're too old.
Oh, no. That can't be. I can't go there.
Oh, well. Okay. Well, let me get off here and let me get somebody else on.
Yeah. As Carol points out, statistically, white-on-white crime is equal to black-on-black crime. But hey, it's different.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, because Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, right? I mean, exactly. They've taught people how to talk about the issue. Really?
Oh, yeah, really. Yeah, I know. Okay.
All right, you have a good one, Gerald. Take care.
Okay, well, I'll see you later.
Bye now. Our buddy, Brother Deacon Gerald, chairman of the Building and Grounds Committee of the Cathedral of Common Sense. By the way, Sister Carol Baker tells me she's in charge of the mashed taters. Made with Yukon Golds, a pound of softened cream cheese, a stick of butter, 3 tablespoons of roasted garlic, a pint of heavy cream, and salt and lemon pepper. They're artery cloggers, but I've seen the boys wrestle one another for the last lick of the bowl. Ooh, Lord, if those things get, if there was enough made to where they could be set up to allowed to set up cold in the refrigerator overnight, and the next morning you heat up a skillet, and you melt a little butter in the skillet, and you patty out those cold mashed potatoes, and you roll them in a little bit of flour, and you, oh my goodness gracious, yes. Yeah, as Angry points out, did Al Gore challenge? No. Yeah, I know. But it's looking more and more like this very well may have been a stolen election. Too many statistical anomalies. What, 7% difference in the way votes were recorded in, what, Michigan between video game voting machines and optical scan/paper ballots? Don't know why anybody'd vote on one of those video game voting machines, unless you had no choice, like in Georgia. Good news. Thank you very kindly, Joan. After Tracy got rid of the loose change and got us down to $130, Joan got us down to 80. $80 to go to meet Johannes in Colorado's challenge, John's. He did have a show on me. And y'all match that, and he kicks in another $200. So we got $80 to go to get another 200. 10 at 8, 8 at 10, 1 at 80, 2 at 40, 4 at 20, 20 at 4. Yeah, you get it. So hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. Note coming in from Jen in Australia. She has a sick computer. But she says, I cannot be convinced to become cavalier about this lunacy. Now, I'm not trying to be cavalier. I'm just trying to set one foot in front of the other and maybe find some reason not to just exit screaming. I cannot be convinced to become cavalier about this lunacy. I will do something. Here's one option. Remember, after the election was stolen in 2004, a website appeared called Sorry World. They called upon people to submit pics of themselves expressing, "Sorry world, we tried." The site was flooded and eventually a Sorry World book was published. So I'm thinking a website called something like over2million.org or growinglead.org, something that will target hits because it's a popular Google search. 4 pages to start with, homepage, purchase page, gallery page, stories page. The homepage would have a spiel about the election irregularities, complete with a video montage of Trump claiming it was rigged. The merch page will sell long-sleeve t-shirts with the final count printed along the sleeve. Example, 62,891, 563, or whatever the exact number is when it's released. On the back of the shirt will be a square outline in which one has the option to write one's personal message. One may then submit a selfie wearing their t-shirt showing said personal message to be added to the gallery page. There will be a click option to make a $1, $2 donation towards an eventual book of these photos. A percentage of proceeds would be donated to the organization of one's choice. Thanks, John Oliver, for that idea. Planned Parenthood, Center for Reproductive Rights, Natural Resources Defense Council, International Refugee Assistance Project, NAACP, Legal Defense Fund, Trevor Project, Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund, or one will have the option of adding their own organization to the list. With a disclaimer, this website is partisan. Be forewarned, if you designate a right-wing group, your donation will default to an organization of our choice, depending on whether you appear to be sexist, racist, homophobic, or Islamophobic. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant idea. Short sleeve design for summer. I mean, this is a whole real idea. Jen says, to kickstart this project, I'll contribute to building the website, costs and design, and buy the first shipment of shirts. Need a volunteer up there, Horn Family Community Congregation. Anybody interested to take delivery and fill the position of packer-upper and mailer-outer of shirts? This will become the one paid position. I think a nonprofit org allows for some running costs, such as wages. It does. The T-shirt company I would use for initial shipment, unless there are objections or someone already has a better alternative, would be one I use in Taiwan. Of course, I would prefer to eventually use a Made in America company, but I'd need help locating one. Going forward, I'm happy to just have my costs covered, as one hopes the website will become self-sufficient and grow. Question from this near Luddite. Can I organize and help maintain a website here and enable access to it up there so we can work in tandem? Yes. So that's an idea that Jen's had. Roll it around. Write me back. Let me know what you think of it. She says, I was hoping if there's interest, you might throw it open to the Horn Family Community Congregation. And I'm doing it ahead of Thanksgiving. But maybe we'll talk about it some more tomorrow on the front porch. See if there's somebody looking for the ground level position. It could be very interesting. Very interesting indeed. We will talk about it some more. Hey, thanks, Ralphs. Ralphs just took us down to $60 to go to meet John's challenge from out in Colorado. Thank you. Thank you, Ralphs. $60 in 15 minutes. Can we do that? I hope so. Here's a little giggle. You know, Megyn Kelly put her book out and really took the sleaze merchants to task over at Fox. And the Trumpansies immediately took their shoes off and started typing. Almost immediately, more than 100 negative reviews of the book popped up on Amazon. And Amazon itself removed some of the reviews from users that it couldn't verify had purchased the book. Now, dang it. Fake Amazon reviews are one of my simple and guilty pleasures. I don't think I've ever laughed so hard as I did at the Haribo sugar-free gummy bear reviews. Just wow. Yeah, angry reminds me of something I'd meant to do this evening. You know, we were talking about the over 700 instances of right-wing hate that have been reported thus far. The Southern Poverty Law Center wants to know about that hate. And so they are collecting incidents of hate. And if you go to splcenter.org/report hate, there is a form you can fill out for reporting hate. Or there's always the hashtag report hate. And I think this is valid and worthy and worthwhile because we can't let these monsters operate in the dark. And yeah, you know what? If you want to add your voice to a chorus, John put me onto this. If you go to change.org, there's a demand action from President-elect Donald Trump page. And a whole bunch of different petitions related to the upcoming nightmares that are in the offing. Electoral College make Hillary Clinton president on December 19th. Steve Bannon's racist, anti-Semitic, misogynistic views don't belong in the White House. Prosecute Trump for illegal offenses before the December 19th Electoral College vote. Don't let Myron Ebell dismantle the EPA. I mean, my God, a guy who isn't even a scientist, even remotely, might wind up being the administrator of the EPA. Then there's just impeach Donald J. Trump. Or how about a petition, no confirmations for Trump nominees until Obama's nominee confirmed to the Supreme Court. As John pointed out, yeah, maybe the odds are long, but you know what? Every now and then, a Hail Mary thrown into the end zone actually gets caught and wins the game. So again, that's over at change.org. And yeah, it's been prayer meeting Wednesday and everything. But I wanted to share something with you. That's sort of not prayer meeting-ish. This is an older recording from August 10th. Steve Racist Bannon engaged in conversation on the Breitbart radio program, engaged in conversation with Milo Yiannopoulos, and they're talking about the rise of what is being described as alt-right, but is actually just repackaged white supremacy. And on a note from the Art of Word Knowing, I was really proud to see that Think Progress says they will no longer use the term white nationalist. They're not going to help whitewash and normalize Nazism. Because in the final analysis, that's what we're talking about, Nazism. Jesus, if it goose steps like a goose and it sticks its right arm in the air like it's a Nazi. But there's this one particular passage. It's a long clip. It's 5.5 minutes long. We won't have to listen to all of it. But there's this one particular passage that caught my ear and I wanted to share with you.
Milo, you wrote just another brilliant piece on the alt-right. You know, Paul Ryan in the stumble, you know, by the way, Paul Ryan, hat tip to Paul Ryan, won very big yesterday in his home district, I think 80-20 over Paul Nealon, but he did have to jettison some of his beliefs, core beliefs, like on TPP, he threw that right over the side. We're going to talk about that in depth in the next hour. But the one thing, in a radio interview, he starts talking about this new brand of conservatism that's starting to rise out of this kind of populist nationalist movement, which is called alt-right, driven really by young people, right? Young thinkers, young activists. And he had some he went right to the left-wing playbook. Walk us through what happened.
Well, this was quoted on Twitter approvingly by a formerly successful diminutive commentator. And, you know, he didn't even get the name right to begin with. You know, he called it alt-conservative. So he hasn't really looked into this very much. But it's interesting that his instinctive, his knee-jerk, his first response was immediately to, you know, to dismiss them as a nationalist, white nationalist, all the rest of it. What's really happening is this. The Trump phenomenon wasn't created by Trump. Trump has taken advantage of frustration with globalism, with globalization, frustration with open borders, frustration with wages being depressed, frustration with law and order. And many of these concerns, and in addition to that, concerns about freedom of speech, about Western culture being preserved from, you know, immigration from certain bits of the world, and, you know, the total rejection of political correctness. These things have sort of congealed to become something that we now call the alt-right. And that represents at least half of the Republican base, and probably a lot more than that.
You got that? Now, I've gotten pushback from time to time. Oh, Bob, you know, not everybody that voted for Donald Trump was a racist. And we did a little bit of angels dancing on the head of a pen intellectualism, trying to sort out, okay, if not two thirds, how about three quarters, or three quarters, two thirds, or how about half, or if not half, and then figuring out how many millions of people that means are still racists, misogynists, you know, neo-Nazis, alt-right, white supremacists. And I'm still getting it. Well, I mean, like, there were people who voted for Obama, but they voted for Trump. They're not racist. But, of course, they voted with racists, and that means they're in a coalition with racists. They're in a coalition with neo-Nazis. And, ultimately, when the neo-Nazis get power, you don't want to be in a coalition with them anymore. Because they'll come for your ass, too. But, you know, I'm just some you know, progressive out here that's just pissed off because the election didn't go my way. Right. But here's the thing. That's not me saying half the Republican Party is racist, neo-Nazi, alt-right. That's Milo Yiannopoulos, who is such a hateful little bastard that he got his ass thrown off Twitter for stalking and creepering on people. Hear it again.
Many of these concerns, and in addition to that, concerns about freedom of speech, about Western culture being preserved from, you know, immigration from certain bits of the world, and, you know, the total rejection of political correctness. These things have sort of congealed to become something that we now call the alt-right. And that represents at least half of the Republican base, and probably a lot more than that.
Okay, so you don't believe me. Will you please, for fuck's sake, believe Steve Bannon and Milo Yiannopoulos, the guys who coined the term? Well, okay, Richard Spencer coined the term. But the guys who have been bowing and scraping and catering to this... we're going to preserve Western European traditions. What, like smallpox? Weren't any smallpox over here in 1491, boys? But they say, Milo Yiannopoulos says, half of the Republican base is neo-Nazi. And then he said, probably a lot more than half of the Republican base are neo-Nazi. He says alt-right. Alt-right is just a funny way of saying neo-Nazi. Or are we still going to talk about all that fucking economic anxiety? When a Nazi tells you he's a Nazi, please, will you believe the Nazi? Or are we just going to hum a few bars of Kumbaya? Yeah, I think I'm going to bookmark this audio for the next time somebody tells me that, not all the Trump voters, not all cops, not all white people, not all Scotsmen, no true Scotsmen. They're telling you they're neo-Nazis and they're coming. They're telling you they're neo-Nazis and they're coming and they don't care who gets in their way. I dare say it's pretty much time that we stop that we stop with the horse shit about Bernie got robbed. Jill Stein is too a real candidate. Let it go. We best stop that shit and start getting serious about being part of the resistance, because the resistance is the only thing that has a prayer against fascism, Nazism, on the march. And they are, by God, on the march. Yes, they are. And yay, we have made it. We have met John in Colorado's challenge. Thank you very kindly to Harold, President and CEO of the Secret Open Carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Thank you very kindly, Harold, for helping us do that. And tomorrow night, Front Porch Time, Thanksgiving Evening Edition. We've never done this before. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, tell the world there's going to be live progressive radio Thanksgiving night. Time to get on out of here. Thanks, everybody, for all you do to keep all this going. Thanks to you who pay the bills. Thanks to you who are participate in the program, however you do. Thank you very kindly to our all-volunteer staff. Sparky, our news ninjas, John Fox in Australia, Ben Birch, the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, everybody.